opportunity. Bless the name of the Lord this morning. Give the Lord some praise in the house of the Lord this morning. Don't hold back your praise. Don't hold back your worship. Don't hold back your honor to God this morning. Bless him, for he is worthy of your praise. He's worthy of your adoration. He's worthy of your thanks. Yes, he is worthy. We thank him this morning. We give him the glory this morning. We honor you, Father. We bless you, our God. We give you all the glory, for you deserve all the worship. Lord, we thank you for the privilege, the honor of being called by your name. We thank you for allowing us, oh God, right now, even to be here today. We bless your name for the body of Christ all over the world. Thank you for wherever the door of a house, of a home, of a basement is open today, where people gather to worship you. You deserve the worship, so we bless you this morning. We honor you, for you are with us. We thank you for your goodness, your grace that has kept us, that has preserved our families. We thank you for our children. We thank you, oh God, for relationships that we have, oh God. We thank you for our careers. We thank you for everything. Above all things, we thank you for the salvation of our soul. Oh Lord, it is precious. Precious indeed that you came and died for us. So this morning, as you speak to us, open our hearts, open our spirit. May we be a people who are doers of your word, not just hearers only. Challenge our spirit to believe. Oh God, encourage our heart to stay on to it, that we be not those who draw back, but we be those who keep on believing to the saving of the soul. Right now, Holy Spirit, breathe upon this word. I ask that you, who is the spirit of illumination, will illuminate the hearts of your people. I rebuke doubt and unbelief in the name of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord prospers among us today. And we thank you, O God, that nothing you have called us to do here on earth, Lord, we shall not fall short. We will fulfill purpose. We will realize and we come to the place of fulfillment. For God who is with us is greater than everything that has arisen to oppose us. So we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And a believer in the house, shall they believe in amen? Amen. Somebody give the Lord some praise in the house of the Lord this evening or this morning. Hallelujah. Today is a beautiful day. And every day that God gives you life, it is a beautiful day. You and I must come to the place where we appreciate the very fact that we are alive in the land of the living. It is an ungodly and an unbelieving attitude and behavior to be ungrateful unto God. Gratitude is not contingent on what God has done for you. Gratitude is an expression of the heart that arises out of your being. The psalmist says in Psalm 103, my soul, it begins there. Bless the Lord and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And the first thing for which he invoked a soulish gratitude was the salvation of his soul. Amen. Who forgives all your iniquity and who have redeemed your life. So don't wait until a new car. Then you want to thank God. Gratitude must begin because you are alive. Amen. You and I are not better than those who are dead. Some people who are seated here, you've done more things than those who died and never even tried doing. But God. Amen. I say, but God has kept you, kept your family. Yep. So be grateful, yes. Be thankful, and don't worry about the bills. They will be paid. Amen. God has never allowed you to be kicked out of the house. You still have a roof over your head. Yes. Amen. Amen. And some of the things that you have never even imagined will happen in your life, God has made them happen for you. Amen. So child of God, this morning, Be grateful. Gratitude is a key of the kingdom that opens the floodgate of blessings. When you are grateful, you tell God, I believe in you, and I know you can do more for me. Hallelujah. So don't start the day when you're in the house of the Lord with a spirit of mourning, as if your life has no meaning. Your life has meaning. Your life has purpose. Your life has a destiny to it. Hallelujah. You got to see yourself as God sees you. That's the only way you can get to your destination. And as long as the Lord liveth and he seated upon the throne, you shall not be put to shame. Amen. That is the testimony of the Lord unto you. God's commitment in your life is not wavering. Nothing is changing it. God is ever committed. God will ever come true. God will ever answer prayer. God will ever satisfy your needs. God will ever do for you what you cannot do for yourself. God will ever be for you what no parent can ever be for you. That's who he is. See him for who he is. Then nobody will push you to worship him. It becomes spontaneous. Because when you understand who God is, then worshiping him is not something that is commanded of you. It becomes a natural thing. So this morning, we continue our conversation on the character of a visionary. The reason I'm taking time, according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to dwell on this topic a second time is the necessity of it. As we have seen, that vision is not about just mental imagination. It's not about an imaginary illusion. It is more than that. When I say imaginary illusion, it's because some people have visions that is an illusion, because they cannot fulfill it because it's not coming from God. Amen? But vision, as we have seen, has to do with divine purpose being infused into your spirit. God infusing into your heart a purpose that is greater than your finances and your resources, that is more daring than anything that you could ever have imagined that you can do in life. Life in itself becomes boring and meaningless without a vision that you're pursuing, without a vision that you're intending to achieve. Consider the apostles. Until they encountered Jesus and receive a vision of God for their life were boring. Look at Luke chapter 5. All through the night they toiled, they labored, and they caught nothing. And they were on their way home when Jesus met them. And Jesus said to Peter, can I use your boat? And the guy is a sensible guy. He didn't question. He said, take the boat. Because the challenge with many of us is that we want to understand God first before we obey him. It does not work like that in the kingdom. As soon as he gave Jesus his boat, he received a vision. A vision that changed his life. He said, from today, you shall be a fisher of men. Without God's vision in Peter's life, do you think you could ever have read of his name in the Bible? Who would know Peter? Who would have known an angry man like Peter? Therefore, the vision of God is the catalyst of your transformation. When you receive the vision of God, it transforms your life. It transforms your destiny. transforms your family. The vision of God received in your spirit is the catalyst of your transformation. You become one who has opportunity to influence lives, to change things, to rise and be counted, to become a source of inspiration to others. Oh, we travel far and near to listen to men and women of God. We go to conferences. Why? Because there is something about them that is appealing to us. If God never gave them the vision of their life, are you going to go see them? No. Therefore, each one of us who desire greatness must accept the vision of God in their life. You have to accept the vision of God in your life. And that vision is not only ministry-wise. It is all in compassion. God has a vision for you as it relates to your family. We're going to get into all that. God has a vision for you as it relates to finances. We get into all that. But the key thing this morning is that vision can never be fulfilled without an accompanying character necessary for it. No vision can ever be fulfilled without the needed accompanying character that is necessary for it. It doesn't matter how great the vision is. It will die prematurely if the one to whom the vision is saddled upon lacks the character necessary for the fulfillment of that vision. It is as simple as marriage. Do you know that marriage requires a vision? And do you know that without character in marriage, marriage disintegrates? Do you know that? The many divorces that you hear today is not the devil. It is the lack of character. Therefore, the vision for that marriage died. The vision may have begun in romantic experiences. Oh, I love you. Last Sunday, Mama told you guys how I used to write from Songs of Solomon, which is very true. Eh? You know me, I was not into all this dating and boyfriend, girlfriend stuff. She was the first person and the last person. Amen? Amen? So when the journey began, I needed to go to the Bible. We are no better. You know? That one, I trusted it. So when I want to write, I go to Songs of Solomon. Let me find. You know, but I didn't like the craziness of Solomon, but there's something God has used him to say there. Amen? Amen. So if, as romantic as it has been, there is no character accompanying that vision, it would have ended as soon as it started. So you don't blame the devil for what you should have done and what you should be doing as it relates to the vision of God in your life. So we must recognize that character is the bedrock of success. It is what determines how successful you're going to be. It is what determines. It is the determinant in the fulfillment of your vision. The greatest focus of Jesus' ministry when he came, after he had given them the vision of being fishers of men in Luke chapter 5, is that he began to walk with them to transform their character. Because he knew that the gospel would have died if he handed it over to men and women who lacked the character needed to execute the gospel. So for 3.5 years, he taught them. He showed them. He engaged with them for transformation of character. Because as great as the vision of the gospel is, once it is committed to mere human, angels are not preaching the gospel. They partner with us. Are you with me? So God knew that if I don't walk on these people, and then subsequently send the Holy Spirit to continue to work on them, this thing will be defeated. That was not the first time God committed something to humanity. The first time God committed something to man without training him for it is in the Garden of Eden. As soon as he gave it to Adam, the guy didn't know what to do. He lacked the character to sustain the vision of Eden. Therefore, he lost it. God said, no, never again will I do that. This time around, this is too precious. I will teach them myself. And when I'm done, I will send the Holy Spirit to come into them. Therefore, John 16:13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will teach you. He will teach you. He will guide you into all the truth. And he will take of me. He will reveal it to you. Because what I've given you is too precious for it to die. You got to recognize that what God has given to you is too precious. It is too precious. You know the problem? Is that we think that the vision of our life is tied primarily to our career. Therefore, when our job goes this way, the roller coaster, and goes that way, that's how we just go. No. The vision of your life is greater than your career, than your profession. You are the carrier of divine vision. God has committed into your hand the very purpose for which the Son came and died. You must guide it. You must execute it. You must understand that in it is where your blessing is. Hallelujah. Read your Bible. From that day in Luke chapter 5, Peter, who toiled for all night and caught nothing, the Bible says, Jesus said to them, now that you have received the vision, now that you're willing to work for the vision, now that you're really ready to engage with the vision, cast your net on this side of the boat. It didn't just say cast your net, which means throw it anyhow and anywhere. He gave specifics on this side of the boat. I pray for you today that your ears be open. That you will hear exactly where the resources for the vision is coming from. As soon as they drop it that way, the Bible said they caught so much fish that they had to beckon on their partners to come help them haul it into the boat. Child of God, when you receive the vision of God, you trigger divine miracles in your life. Amen. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, as many who have received what God is calling them to today, I pray for you that you shall not lack what you need to execute your vision from today in the name of Jesus. Their life changed. Their testimony changed. They have never experienced that. And from that day, the Bible said they forsook the net. They sold. And then they moved on. Now when they moved on, and as they moved on, read your Bible. One day, the tax collectors came to Peter. They said, why is it that you and your master haven't paid taxes? And I've told you in this church, if you're working, you owe the government. Pay your taxes. You like the good road and the bridges, and pay your taxes. Don't say, okay, I'm claiming what you're not supposed to claim. Or you say, no, I'm not going to sign in for it. I will pay it myself. Many people have become indebted to the IRS for foolishness. Let Uncle Sam take it. God is the only one who trusts you. And say, you bring the 10%. Uncle Sam say, no, I don't trust you. I will take it before I give it to you. So please pay your taxes. It's important. It's biblical. Amen. Don't owe any man anything but love, the Bible says.
Hallelujah.
And as soon as they confronted Peter with tax, he came back to the one who gave the vision. And he didn't say anything. Now read your Bible. He didn't say anything. His countenance spoke for him. Hello? You know, many a time some of you say, okay, I haven't prayed about it. But God sees your countenance. God sees how you're feeling. And he's concerned about it. And as soon as Jesus saw his countenance, he knew what it was. So he says to him, from whom does the kings of this world collect their tributes? From their sons or from slaves and foreigners? He said, from slaves and foreigners. Jesus said, therefore the sons are free. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. When you receive the vision, not only does it position you for greatness, it ensures your freedom from the element that controls others in this world. You are no longer subject and bound by the things that kings of this world, principalities and powers and rulers of kingdom of darknesses uses to afflict others, because a son is free. Amen. Not maybe, you are free. Amen. They cannot place demand on you. The power of witchcraft cannot place demand upon your life. Occultic people cannot place demand upon your life, because the son is free. He says, so that you be not offended. There is a skill you used to have. It is called fishing. Just use it for one more time, Peter. Yeah, there will come a time when the vision, God may send you back to the skill that he had given to you. He said, use it one more time. But this time, when you go, throw in the hook the very first fish. Even if the fish is tiny, if it is the first, it has what you need. Somebody didn't get what I'm saying. Because the challenge many of you have when it comes to vision is that you're waiting for big miracles. God is telling you, in the little that I'm giving to you, if you can see what is in it, it is going to take you through for the vision. Open the stomach, there is something in there. And he paid his tax and paid for Jesus. So Jesus was not owing anybody. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The character of obedience is critical to the fulfillment of vision. The character of obedience and prompt obedience. Prompt obedience, not obedience that is deferred, not obedience that is procrastinated upon, not obedience that you weigh in and rationalize, but obedience that you understand that this is God who spoke to me, and he knows better than I do, therefore I am going to obey him. The character of obedience is key number one to the realization of vision. You got to obey. Don't wait until the circumstance is favorable. You got to obey, because obedience and the release of resources are timed by God. Or let me put it this way, they work within a time frame. Okay? You know, English is not my native language. You know that? Okay, so follow me now. The key being that prompt obedience and resources, when they marinate together within the season and the time that God wants you to obey, it releases into your hand what you're looking for. So if you stretch the obedience outside of divine timing and then you obey within that time frame that you thought you should, the resources was already guaranteed here. Therefore, then, where you have obeyed over there, the resources was behind you. Then you say, God, I've obeyed you, so what is the resource? He said, no, you missed the timing. You missed the timing. You missed the timing. Oh, you think it's not so? Read your Bible. Matthew chapter 25. Five foolish, five wise. Isn't it? But they went to get the oil, didn't they? They went to get the oil. Didn't they go into the city to get the oil? But when they came back, though they have obeyed, though they presented themselves, but when they came back, the blessing was already gone. Because every blessing God has for you is tied to timely obedience. Every blessing God has for you, church, is tied to timely obedience. In any facet of your life, relationship-wise, don't procrastinate when you know in your heart that this is the person God is putting in my heart for as a husband, as a wife. Don't procrastinate. You see, the problem many of us have is that we think we know better than God does. Be obedient, but be obedient in time or on time. Hallelujah. Character of obedience. Character of obedience. Character of obedience. Now, before I move to the next characters, I want to touch base on something the Holy Spirit critically impressed in my spirit. Last week when we read Numbers chapter 13, verse 30 to 33, we discovered that when people lack character that is necessary for the fulfillment of vision, as a visionary, when you lack the characters that are needed, there are something that exists. That thing is called fear. What is it called?
Fear.
What is it called?
Fear.
You know, many people don't obey God out of fear. You know that. So many people are in disobedience because of fear. Going back to the same Matthew where I quoted, Jesus gave the parable of the talent, isn't it? He gave the parable of what? The talent. One he gave five, one he gave two, one he gave what? One. Vision was given to them. The one who received one said, I was afraid. I was what? I was what?
Afraid.
I was afraid, therefore I did not obey you. When it comes to kingdom vision that God is calling you to and giving to you, it will intimidate you naturally. God does not give you something that is smaller than himself. Did you hear that? Did you just hear that? God does not give you something that is smaller than him. So when he gives you a vision, it must be as big as God is. And because you're not as big as God is, it intimidates you when you receive it. The intimidation is intended to foster faith in you towards God. It is intended to foster confidence towards God. It is intended for you to come to the place of realizing, I cannot do it without God.
Amen.
If the vision is as you are, you don't need God. If you have it all figured out, you don't need God. Somebody who is listening to me and listening to the Holy Spirit, I pray you understand that now. Hallelujah. So fear becomes a hindrance both to character formation and to the execution of the vision. Where does fear come from? The Lord wants me to speak briefly on this morning, and I don't know who it is for. Where does fear come from? Let's be clear, it does not come from God. Because the Bible says so. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love. So love is a spirit, sound mind, boldness. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Fear stems from the enemy. So how does the enemy work as it relates to fear? He infuses into your spirit imagination. He gives you imaginary visions of how impossible it is for you to do what God is asking you to do. Therefore, one of the prayers you must pray daily is, Lord, let what I imagine be in accordance with your word. Let my imagination be reflective of your word. As I imagine it, may it be as it is, even before you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the enemy creates imagination in your spirit that are fearful. And then he goes forward to often authenticate it with natural testimonies that correlate the fear. Haven't you experienced it? That there are times you had truly, you want to be all that God wants you to be. You want to do all that God wants you to do. Then some crazy, stupid imaginations start just coming from nowhere. And as they come, then people whom you've not heard from for I don't know how long, they'll call you with mad, crazy stories. And before you finish all that, you're already dead with the vision. I pray for you today that in the name of Jesus, everything God gives you to do, every greatness in the vision that God has given to you, fear shall not kill it.
Amen.
I say fear shall not kill it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Fear shall not kill it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 The spirit of fear is a destroyer. The spirit of fear is a destroyer. What does it destroy? Foremost, it destroys your passion for God. Your passion for the vision God has given to you. You need passion. Nobody preached the gospel without passion. You know, when you go out to witness, as the Lord was asking us to do, people want to see you to be passionate about what you're saying. You cannot preach the gospel without passion. You cannot testify of the goodness of God without passion. Neither can you fulfill anything without passion. Marriage will die when there is no passion. You can't raise your children without passion because they keep on doing things that would discourage you. In your work, you can't hold a job if you have no passion for the work. Once your passion starts dying in a company, you start looking for another job. Hello? So passion is the fuel, write it down, passion is the fuel for the fulfillment of vision. Passion is the fuel for the fulfillment of the vision. And who gives passion? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives passion. The Bible calls him the spirit of burning. The spirit of what? The spirit of burning. Passion is a burning thing. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of burning. He triggers and infuses your spirit with passion for the things of God. Paul was so passionate that when he knew that going to Jerusalem would mean his death, he said, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I'm going on with what God has called me to do. When you see people of passion, you hear it in their word. You know you don't see passion literally, but it is seen in action and in words. You want to see somebody who is passionate? Listen to them. Listen to them. Listen to how they speak. Listen to how they speak. Listen to the actions and I'll see the actions that they take. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't know who you are, but I pray for you today that the Lord will rejuvenate your passion. That the Holy Spirit will rejuvenate your passion.
Amen.
That the Lord will rejuvenate your passion.
Amen.
When you are passionate, you fight to the finishing line.
Amen.
You don't quit. Passionate people are crazy. Crazy to get it done. Crazy to see God walk. Crazy to pray until there is revival. Crazy to believe God for their family until there is change. They don't get discouraged. If they do, they go back to the source. They get refueled. The spirit of burning. Burn in me. Ignite passion in me. Restore my passion. Revive my passion. Oh, glory to Jesus. Oh, I pray that the church be full of people who are passionate. I pray that rebuilders be full and be filled with people who are passionate. Passionate for life. Passionate to see the glory of God. Passionate to see the vision of God in your spirit being fulfilled. Don't live life whining, complaining. Don't. Be a passionate person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus was a passionate guy. Oh my God. He was a passionate guy. He never allowed anything. The family said to him in John chapter 7. He said, oh, why are you hiding here? You say you are a great guy. Go to Jerusalem, show yourself. He looked at them and said, I don't have time for you guys. Off to Jerusalem he went. You know what? When the spirit of passion is in you, the criticism of people become inconsequential.
Amen.
When the spirit of passion is in you, the criticism of people become inconsequential because passion is a consumer. Passion consumes. It consumes criticism and put it where it should be. It consumes fear, put it where it should be. It consumes opposition, put it where it should be. Oh, that the Lord anoint you today. With the oil of passion.
Amen.
Passion for souls.
Amen.
Passions for souls.
Amen.
Passions for God.
Amen.
Passion for your vision.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So fear must be defeated. It must be defeated. Because kingdom vision requires that those who desire to fulfill it must be resolved in your heart and spirit to stand for God and for his purposes. The greatness or the greatest hindrance to vision and fulfillment is fear and an undecided heart. Fear and what? Undecided heart. So for any vision to come to pass, each individual must identify what his or her fear is and resolve to conquer it. Identify what your fear is. Why is it that you are afraid to witness? Why don't you go out for evangelism? Why is it that you are afraid to pursue your vision? A vision God has given to you. What is the fear you have in marriage, in relationship? What is the fear you have when it comes to your children? Why is it that you don't discipline them and correct them as God will have you to? What is the fear you have? Hallelujah. Fear manifests in many ways. One of the ways it manifests is called compromise. What is it called?
Compromise.
Church, what is it called?
Compromise.
What is it called?
Compromise.
Compromise. Fear manifests in compromise. It manifests in foolish decisions. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Revelation 21, 8. Please open your Bible. If you have one. Somebody beside you doesn't have one, share with him. Revelation 21:8. In verse 7, he says, he who is victorious shall inherit all these things. And I will be God to him and her, and he shall be my son. Are you still looking for revelation? Just go to the end of the Bible and come back. I mean, it's very simple. Yeah? Don't begin from the beginning. Go to the end, come back. Meet it quickly. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8. What is the first word he says there? But who? The fearful. But the fearful. But who? When God began to catalog things that will stop people from entering into heaven, the first thing he mentioned that will stop them is what? Fear. But the fearful. The fearful. Because people, fear is what begets unbelief. When we saw them, we were afraid, for they are giants. And in our own eyes, we're like grasshoppers. Therefore, we can't believe you that we are able to possess this land. Fear is what begets unbelief. So, again, I say to you, what is your fear? Because until you deal with your fear, you cannot resolve the issue of unbelief. Without resolving the issue of unbelief, faith cannot arise in your spirit. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You gotta find your fear. Are you afraid that God is gonna drop you halfway? Are you afraid that it is too difficult and too challenging that you can't make it? Are you afraid that you have tried and you failed severally? Are you afraid of what people are going to say about you? Crazy you. Huh? You think you're the only one who hear God. Huh? Okay? If you are jealous about it, put yourself in position to hear God. I mean, hearing God, one of the things about it is that for me, I don't like it. You know why I say I don't like it? You say, how can pastor say that? Naturally, I don't. Because when you hear God, now you're in trouble. The burden of obedience is upon you now. If it is not about you, if it's somebody else's issue, now it is your trouble. So when God speaks to you, and people are jealous about it, forget them. They don't know what you're dealing with. Because if they know, they will stop being jealous. Because hearing God in itself is something that is great and good, but you must be willing for the responsibility that comes with it. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I say shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So those who hear God carry greater burden in their spirit. Because as God speaks to them, the more they are burdened to bring it to pass, they become partners with God. The fearful. Hallelujah.
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 We must get rid of fear. Get rid of what?
Fear.
Get rid of what?
Fear.
Get rid of what?
Fear,
fear is a destroyer. Don't be afraid to hear from God. Because God will equip you with what is needed to execute what he has called you to do. Many people are not fulfilling vision because fear has crippled them. Fear has crippled their spirit. It has led them to compromise on their standard in God. And their standard as it relates to what God is calling them to do. Child of God, everything that relates to vision has a standard. Mm-hmm. Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Fear is a crippler. In the name of Jesus, lift up your hand, please, if you can. Your right hand. I'm going to pray for you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So many of us may have fears that we don't even know exist. But Lord, today, open the eyes of your people. Open the eyes of your people. And the fears that they already know, my God, in the name of Jesus, because it is a spirit, I come against it. Amen. By the authority of the word of God. Amen. By the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. I command it whole to be broken today. Amen. I release your spirit. I release you right now. Amen. To the place of freedom. Amen. Faith and passion. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, how can we overcome fear? The first thing to do to overcome fear is to identify your fear and address it by the word of God. Identify it, address it by the word of God. Know what it is. Know what it is. It gets even into the issue of your worship with God. You know, many people don't worship God out of fear. Haven't you seen people, you witness to them about God, and they say, well, you know, really, I know God. I know God is a good God, but there are things I don't want to let go right now. I'm afraid that if I come to God, he is going to start telling me this, that, the other, and the other. And I don't, fear is telling me now, don't go. If you go there, God is going to start pointing them out. So it hinders people. A young man, 4 years ago, who came into our life. The Lord helped us through this church to help him. Last 2 weeks, he was in our recovery meeting downstairs. And someone who knew him, he says, you've matured. You've changed. And he looked at her. He said, those days, there were so many things I never wanted to let go because of fear. I fear that if I commit fully to God, I'm going to lose out on these things. Therefore, I could not commit completely to God. What did he lead him to? Relapsing. Fear will take you on a journey. Don't agree with it. You don't need to go on a journey with fear. Fear will take you on a journey in your marriage. Because with fear, doubt comes. When doubt comes, suspicion comes. When suspicion is there, behavior begins to change. I don't know why is he coming late these days. But I thought before he used to come here before 8:30 he's in the house. I'll give him now when he comes. That's the way he's behaving. I'm noticing some changes. Fear is speaking. You don't know the language of fear? He's speaking. The way they, you know, when they used to greet me before, the way they greeted me now. Fear is speaking. And before you know it, behavior is changing. The devil is a liar.
Amen.
You shall not fall to fear. The way the supervisor is talking to me, they may, I hear they are trying to change people in this company. That's not your business. God took you there.
Amen.
Let them try it. God will give them a knock on the head.
Amen.
You gotta realize that fear cripples. It cripples. But the Lord has given you
the spirit of boldness, the spirit of courage, the spirit of love. So love is a key to overcoming fear. For perfect love cast away, the Bible says. Love. 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 Not the feeling type of it. The agape love. The agape love is it. Because the agape love trusts. The agape love is unconditional. The agape love is abiding. It is committal. May God bless you in this season.
Amen.
With men and women who will love you.
Amen.
And through whose love your strength shall be rejuvenated.
Amen.
You know, there are things you're praying that God do for you. God is not going to do it through God doing it. God is going to do it through raising people into your life to get it done. Hallelujah.
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 Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Fear changes your perspective. It changes the way you see the vision. It changes your perspective. Oh, hallelujah. Look at Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 very quickly. Isaiah 41 verse 10, please, if you can, open your Bible. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the vision you've given to us. We thank you for where you're taking us to. We thank you for our families. We thank you for the vision about our careers. Fear will not stop us. We thank you for the vision you've given to us about our children. Fear will not stop us. We will raise them in your ways. We will correct them in love. Because we will not be afraid that when we correct them in love, they will hate us. Isaiah 41, verse 10, the Bible says, do what? Fear thou not. For what? Fear thou not. For what? I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So how do you defeat fear again? Love. But the next way you defeat fear is to receive the word of God. Because it's the spirit. And the Bible says in Hebrews that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, glory to Jesus. There is no spirit that the word of God does not cut asunder. For the words I speak to you, they are spirit. You fight spirit with spirit. And the greater spirit defeats the lesser one. Fear is lesser than the word of God. And the Lord said to you this morning, fear not. Be not dismayed.
Amen.
For I will strengthen you. Mahandobo kotaba. I will strengthen you.
Amen.
I'll give you the strength you need.
Amen.
It didn't say I will remove it, but I'll give you the strength to deal with it yourself. So that when you've dealt with it yourself, then you can know that now the Lord teaches your hand to battle and your fingers to war. You can now know how to deal with it. You can tell Lord, you know why God allow you to deal with some things yourself? So that you can have the experience and the testimony to tell others.
Amen.
If God does everything for you, where will your testimony be?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Fear not. I don't know who you are, but God, send me your way today. Fear not. The vision shall be accomplished. The marriage will stay. The children will turn out right.
Amen.
that profession, that job will come out right.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of tomorrow either. Don't be afraid of what is... Our life is not dependent on Donald Trump or the Democratic Party. I don't care how bad it may be politically. Our call is to pray for them. But our confidence is in the living God. Don't be afraid of your children. If you have ever prayed for them, if there has been any time you bow your knee in prayer, believe that God that he answers prayer. He's going to come through. Oh, I'm afraid what my children will turn. Don't be like Job. Don't be like Job. Or people say, oh, the devil. Yeah, the devil tempted Job. But read your Bible. We were dealing with that on Thursday in Bible school. God said to him, he's already in your hands. Many people think that that was a permission from God. No. God was telling Satan, you know, the guy has fear already. And fear is not from me. So he was already in your hands before you even came around here now. But don't touch his sword. What was the first word that came out of his mouth? The thing I feared the most has happened to me. The thing I feared the most has happened to me. So when I say to you, find your fear and kill it before it takes you on a journey. Do so. The things I feared the most has happened to me. He sacrificed out of fear. Oh, peradventure they have done this. It wasn't out of faith and worship of covenant. He couldn't believe that God was good enough to keep his children. Therefore, he ran sacrificing every time they gathered together to parry out of fear. You can't worship God out of fear. You can't serve God out of fear. You can't fulfill vision out of fear. Overcome it. Live above it.
Amen.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When you overcome fear, a character is going to emerge in you.
Amen.
Because fear is what keeps you down. Hallelujah. So as long as fear exists, the fulfillment of vision is impossible. God is calling you to step out in faith. The reason for which Jesus said to his disciples to tarry at Jerusalem until they received the gift of the Holy Spirit was because without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the power needed to overcome the spirit of fear would not be upon them. It takes the power to conquer. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to conquer fear. It takes the conquering of fear for faith to arise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Once fear is overcome and conquered, the following characters will emerge. We will continue on that next Sunday, but let me give you one. The first character that will emerge once you have overcome fear is called diligence. It is called what? Diligence. Diligence. People who are fearful don't do things the right way. Are you still here? Is that true? How many things have you done in fear and you did it right? Is there anything you've done in fear and you got it the right way? Remember the first time you drove a car, you drove in fear. What happened? What happened the first time you drove? Fear. Anything you did for... imagine the first day you hung through microphone here. Some of you preach more than you were supposed to. Because fear was on your head. You feel you wasn't coming across very well. So you hollered, you shouted. You spoke. And you were like, are they listening to me? Are they even getting what I'm saying? Fear Amen. But God today has dealt with it. In the name of Jesus Christ. You shall not fear that your wife will leave you or your husband will leave you. You shall not fear that you won't get married, because the devil is a liar. Because when fear started, are you seeing your age? You're getting older. You know that? Have you looked at yourself on the mirror lately? Do you consider how your body is changing now? And you think it's a wise advice? Huh? And before you know it, the journey begins. You shall not go on that journey.
Amen.
I forbid you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every bearer of false news, every bearer of fearful news, they are far from you. In the name of Jesus Christ. They come running their mouth, trying to sow and open the door of the spirit of fear into your heart. It shall not happen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So you need to be diligent. Diligent is a character. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his walk, his vision? The same man, the same woman shall stand before greatness. Proverbs 22:29. Diligence opens the door for great encounters and great connection. We will dwell on that next week, and we'll look at the book of Nehemiah chapter 2 and chapter 4. We're going to use Nehemiah as our case study of a man who exhibits characters of a visionary. And we're going to see how he dealt with oppositions when he came to his vision. Because it's not only to develop character to be able to fulfill your vision, but also you need character to deal with opposition. Vision has oppositions. And if you don't have the character, you will blow it up. I tell you today, there are those in your husband's family who will never love you. You need character to deal with them. That those in your wife's family who would not love this man standing here, I won't go into that. Huh? But my wife knows. It took almost 15 years for certain people in my wife's family to accept me to be her husband. We've been married. So, there is opposition. But God is faithful.
Amen.
Pardon your head this morning. You shall not miss what God has for you.
Amen.
You shall not be defeated.
Amen.
You shall not give up.
Amen.
You shall not give in.
Amen.
The Lord who has brought you this far is with you.
Amen.
His grace is sufficient unto you.
Amen.
His power is made strong in your weakness. Therefore, this morning, whatever it is that the enemy has succeeded to lie to you about, making you to feel as though you are incapable, you are less than, today I speak the word of God to it. For the word of the Lord says that God has qualified you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Therefore, let the voice of the enemy through fear be silenced today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for you today that your faith will arise, that passion will arise, and grace will arise, that this season the doors of favor be open unto you. I pray for you today that the resources for the fulfillment of divine vision locate you. May your ear hear clearly from the Lord what to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree upon your life and upon your children that they will not fail.
Amen.
They will succeed.
Amen.
Your children shall not be victim of anything that is evil. Same for your grandchildren.
Amen.
Same for your posterity.
Amen.
Same in your marriage.
Amen.
Same in your career.
Amen.
Same in your walk with God.
Amen.
You will arise with passion.
Amen.
You will arise with passion.
Amen.
You arise with passion.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May the Lord strengthen you.
Amen.
May the Lord encourage you. May the Lord send you divine helpers. May the Lord bring you to the place of fulfillment where your heart shall be at peace. Knowing that faithful is he who has spoken. He also will do it. May the Lord God Almighty lighten upon you this season. In this season, may he lighten upon you with grace, with grace, with grace, with grace, with grace. With grace, with grace, with grace, with grace. In the name that is above every other name. Oh, may he do for you what no man can do. May in this season, may God himself, Obahanda Kata, speak into your spirit. May he speak into your heart. His word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. May it cut asunder every element of fear. Every residue of fear. Every stronghold of fear. Every forest and trees of fear. May the word of the Lord cut them down in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, may the Lord himself, who is gracious, strengthen you that you will not fail, but you will arise, be who God says you are, fulfill all God says you should fulfill. In the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus.